Well, good morning, church. You guys in a good mood today? Yeah, all right, working on it. Good. Well, if you're new around here, my name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors around here, and I just want you to know, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, no matter where you are in life, the doors of this church are always open to you. And we have a vision around here to be one church of multiple locations. And so I want to welcome all you here at the Mandarin campus, welcome in our Fleming campus, welcome in our online campus. And in 42 days, we're going to be welcoming in our St. Augustine campus. And we're super excited about that. And listen, we've got about 70 families that have made a commitment to say, hey, we will be the pioneers, we will be the leaders, we'll be the ones who go down there to reach the second fastest growing community in all the country. And so let's give those families a big round of applause. Man, love it. Well, let me share with you where we're going here next couple of weeks. We have 2 weeks left of our series, It's Complicated. And so next week, we're going to talk about those relationships that we all have in our lives with people around us that may not be at the same spiritual place that we are. And so that causes conflict, that causes issues. And so we're going to unpack the Word of God to see how we can deal with those kinds of relationships. And then the week after that, we're going to deal with some family dynamics. That's right. It's going to be the weekend after Thanksgiving, so I figured we're going to need to laugh a little bit and deal with some family stuff. And so that's where we're going here the next couple of weeks. Ann and I first met in college. She was a junior, I was a sophomore. We were in college together. And I'll never forget the very first day I was on campus, I was walking to my job at the maintenance department, and out walks this curly-haired, cute girl, and it was Ann. And so we walked onto our very first day to our job in the maintenance department. We walked together. And now it took me 3 months to work up the courage to ask her out. And I tell you, when I finally did, I was so excited. I spent the whole entire week getting ready for this date. I mean, I went and washed my car and vacuumed it out. I even got one of those scented pine trees to hang in there to make it smell better, you know? And I picked out the right outfit and made sure I looked good. I went to Ralph's. Ralph's was our local grocery store. Picked up a bouquet of flowers, and that night it happened to be raining. So I walked to the back of Dale Hall, and I knocked on the dorm door because guys weren't allowed in the girls' dorms. That's how old I am, all right, teenagers. And so they came, all the girls came out to watch her walk out. And it was raining, so I had an umbrella. And so I covered her up and handed her flowers. And then I walked her to the car, and I opened the car door and helped her get into the car and shut the door. And then I hit play on my mixtape. Oh, come on now. You know it, mixtapes were happening in the early 90s, okay? And so I fired up that mixtape with some good tunes on there, and we drove to Huntington, West Virginia. See, I went to school in Appalachia, all right? There was not a lot around, so we went to this little place that I've got a reservation at called the Calamity Cafe, right across the street from Marshall University. We had a nice candlelight meal together, and we just talked all night long, and it finally quit raining. And so we went and walked around downtown Huntington, West Virginia, walked along the Ohio River, and just talked the night away. And by the end of that first date, she thought I was the most sensitive, caring, loving, romantic guy on the planet. And 2 years later, we got married, and we lived happily ever after. Or at least that's what we were told was supposed to happen. But listen, I learned very early in our relationship that if I wanted happily ever after, I was going to have to work very, very hard. In fact, Ann would be the first to tell you, early on, man, it was a lot of work. You take two people from different backgrounds, with different families, with different baggage, you combine ministry and this guy, and man, it is a lot of work, I'm telling you. And she'd tell you, in the early days, we had to fight. We had to fight to have a good relationship. Because that whole myth, that myth that happily ever after is going to happen, I mean, you take two people, two sinful people, two prideful people, two broken people, two problem-filled people, and try to combine it into one healthy, problem-free relationship, and you know what Vegas calls that? A long shot is what Vegas calls that, all right? Dear Abby said she got a letter from a lady who was 44 years old. She said, I'm 44 years old, and I'm looking for a man who's got no bad habits. Dear Abby wrote back, me too. So we've been talking about relationships, and so we've had a big idea for the last couple weeks that I've shared with you, and here's our big idea. Once again, great relationships are possible, but they're not probable. And the reason those great relationships aren't probable is many of us try to do our relationships by the wisdom or the standard of this world and not the Word of God. And so we've had a scripture that we've been looking at in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And so I want to bring it to you today in a little different way. Today I want to bring it to you out of the Message paraphrase. And so let me read this to you and listen to how personal it makes it. Listen to this. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking, especially when it comes to relationships. Because listen, if you want the kind of relationships, the dating relationships, work relationships, friendships, parenting relationships, dating relationships, marriages that everybody else in the world has, then just do what everybody else does. But if you want what very few people have, then you're going to have to be willing to do what very few people do. He goes on to say, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And that's what this entire series is all about. God, change me. God, transform me. And then it goes on to say, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you. Listen, God wants to bring the best out in you. God wants to bring the best out in your relationships. But so many of us have set ourselves up for a great disappointment because we have bought in to all these myths that the world has sold us on. For instance, myth number one, everything will get better in time. Everything will get better in time. Let me share with you the second law of thermodynamics. Any item left to itself will deteriorate over time. Any item left to itself will deteriorate over time. Listen, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is decaying day by day by day. You can't just kick relationships down the road hoping that they're gonna magically somehow get better. I mean, let me ask you, if you left your house alone, is it gonna get dirtier or is it gonna get cleaner? It's gonna get dirtier, right? And so you've got to address, you have to work at it. Listen, I love classic cars. I love classic cars, and classic cars are beautiful when they've been restored. But it takes a ton of time and a ton of work to get them to that restored state. And so you can't just kick them down the road. Here's the second myth. And listen, all you single people in the room, all you teenagers in the room, I want you to listen to this second myth. This is important. Myth number two, marriage will make me happy. Yeah, come on now. Come on, you laugh at that, all right? Marriage will make me. This is the Cinderella myth. We all love the story of Cinderella, right? I mean, Cinderella goes to a ball and she makes eye contact with this guy across the room. The fireworks go off and they spend a magical evening dancing the night away. And then midnight comes and she runs away. He loses Cinderella. And so the prince goes on this quest. He's got to find this girl. And so he scours the kingdom. He scours the land. He finds her. They fall in love. They get married. They have 2.7 kids. And she drives an SUV or a Prius, depending on your environmental view, right? And so you go, oh, but Jason, I know that's a fairy tale. But deep down inside, we hope that it's not. I mean, you ever thought, why didn't they really make a Cinderella part two? A sequel to Cinderella, you know, the revenge of Cinderella, right? Because think about it, that girl's got issues. She does, all right? She's got an absentee dad. She's got a crazy stepmom who locks her in the attic. She's got sisters who are abusive, and she talks to animals, people. She talks to animals. And on top of that, she marries this narcissistic, mamby-pamby prince who the whole world, everything has evolved around him, right? And so her reality after getting married is probably like this picture right here. Bartender, hit me with another one, all right? She's like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But listen, all you single people, all you teenagers out there, listen, if you're not happy, if you're not fulfilled before you get married, no relationship, no man, no woman will ever fill that gap in your life. Only God can fill that gap in your life. Which leads me to our third myth. And the third myth is this: a spouse will complete me. This is the Jerry Maguire myth, right? You complete me. No, you won't, all right? They won't. And here's what Scripture has to say about that. Ephesians says this: may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made what? Complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You'll be complete when you have God in your life. You will be complete when you know the love of Jesus Christ. I am complete because I am a treasured child of the Most High God. You are a treasured son of the Most High God. You are a treasured daughter of the Most High God. And it doesn't matter what your dating or marital status is. It doesn't matter. And so we've been talking the last couple weeks about the differences between men and women, and they are vast. And I want to dive into that a little bit more. Because listen, God, he equally loves and values. He equally cares and gifts men and women. But the truth of the matter is, we are just different. And so that's why sometimes this crazy thing called love can lead to this crazy cycle in our lives. So let me just show you how the differences kind of show themselves. A psychologist ran a test. He put this scripture or this sentence here on a piece of paper. And he said, woman without her man is nothing. He said, here's what I want you to do. He called in women and said, I want you to punctuate this sentence. And so ladies would come in and this is where they would place the commas. Woman without her man is nothing. Almost every single lady always punctuated that way. And then they called men in and say, men, punctuate the sentence. And they did it this way. Women without her man is nothing. And so there's the difference. Biologically, you know this, that women have this incredible pathway, much larger than men, between the left side and the right side of their brain, which gives them off the chart communication and verbal skills. We know this, right? Listen, ladies, we love you a lot. We just don't like to do this very much, all right? And I love how Dr. Larry Crabb put it. Listen to what he says. He says, often the failure of men and women to meet each other's emotional needs is simply due to the ignorance of each other's needs and not selfish unwillingness to be considerate. You see, our ignorance is not just because we're being mean. It's because we are wired different. We're not all sitting around trying how to make each other's lives miserable. I mean, we just don't understand each other's needs. Maybe you remember the movie, I think Mel Gibson was in it, What Women Want. Maybe you remember this movie. I think the whole premise of the movie, Mel Gibson was in the bathtub, I think, and a hairdryer falls in there. He gets electrocuted. And when he wakes up, he has the ability to hear women's innermost thoughts. And it's a funny movie, and they have a lot of fun with that. But I always wondered, why didn't they make a sequel? What Men Want. Right? And some of you ladies are going, I know what men want, right? Men just want it, right? You can go to bed without it. Men can't live without it, right? But listen, that it that you think they can't live without is not the it that they can't live without. And so today I want to unpack some scripture from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, have your devices, I want to fire them up. We're going to look and unpack a couple of scriptures about the differences between men and women. And so let's begin in verse 18. And here's what verse 18 says, the second half. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Jason, why would you start there? Because without God working in our life, working in our relationships, we'll just have what everybody else has. But if we want what a few people have, then we've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then Paul goes on and continues in verse 21. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. What does that mean? It means to serve one another, to put others first. In honor of what Jesus has done for you, have a serving spirit. Because you see, here's the problem with all relationships. You know why oysters don't give to charity? Because they're shellfish. Come on, that's good right there. They're shellfish. I'm shellfish. You're shellfish, all right? And so in light of that, in light of everything I just mentioned, let me give you what I believe is the most profound scripture in all the Bible that shows the differences between men and women. Verse 33, here's what it says. It says, each man must what? Love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must what? Respect her husband. Husbands must love their wives. Wives must respect their husband. Why would God say that? I mean, why would he say? Because he knows us. He wired us. He created us. He knows what a woman deeply needs in her life is love. And he knows what a man needs in his life deeply is respect. And so ladies, if you came in here today and you're not feeling the love for your husband, evidently God says, that's okay. You don't have to, all right? You just have to respect him. You have to respect him. Shante Feldman, who is a researcher for, she did research out of University of Harvard. And she went around and she asked men all over the country, all over the world actually, one question. She said, if you had to spend the rest of your life, would you rather spend the rest of your life alone and unloved or disrespected and inadequate? How would you rather spend your life alone and unloved or disrespected and inadequate? You know what? 74% of men said they'd rather spend the rest of their life alone and unloved than disrespected and inadequate. And I know some of you women in the room are going, really? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me because you think the opposite of guys. And so let me just do this. I mean, if we're going to be caught up in this crazy thing called love, then it's going to lead sometimes to this crazy cycle. And so let me just share with you what the crazy cycle is, all right? And I found the crazy cycle in this great book called Love and Respect. It's in your outline. It's in your resources. Dr. Emerson Eggerich wrote this book. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. And here is what he points out in the crazy cycle. What happens is she's not feeling the love. Some way, somehow, she gets wounded. She gets hurt. And so then she reacts by doing the thing that makes him feel disrespected more than anything else. She nags him. Guys, who's helping you out today, all right? I mean, she nags him. She nitpicks. Now, she doesn't think she's nagging. She doesn't think she's nitpicking. She thinks she's just pointing out a few opportunities in his life to improve himself, right? But to him, it shreds him. To him, he feels disrespected. You know that song, Respect, Aretha Franklin? One of the most popular songs of all time. I mean, so many millions of records have been sold of that song. Do you know she didn't write that song? Aretha Franklin didn't write that song. In fact, a woman didn't write that song. It was written by a man. Otis Redding wrote that song. And he wrote that song after a huge argument with his girlfriend. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what that means to me. You see, evidently she didn't. Because the next song he wrote was Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Just saying, all right? Just saying there. I don't know if she quite got that one, all right? So because she's not feeling love, she continues to nag. And he pulls away. He withdraws. He throws himself into work. Why does he do that? Because he finds respect there. And so you see how this cycle goes on and on and on in a relationship, all right? She doesn't feel the love, and so she doesn't give respect. And he doesn't feel respected, so he doesn't give the love. And it goes on and on for weeks, months, years, decades, and it creates a very unhealthy relationship. Well, I did it because you did this. Or I did it because you did that. Or I did it because you did this or said this. It just goes on and on and on and on. And listen, this is how affairs happen. I mean, he's looking for someone who's going to make him feel respected. She's looking for someone who makes her feel loved. And so here's what I want to do. I want to get real practical as we have during this entire series. And I want to give you a statement today. And if you haven't been paying attention, you haven't been taking notes yet, this is when you need to get your pens or pencils out and take a note. Because I'm going to give you one sentence that summarizes this entire message. And if you hear nothing else, hear this one sentence today. And here it is. Key statement. At the heart of flourishing relationships is unconditional love and unconditional respect. At the heart of every flourishing relationship is unconditional love and unconditional respect. Now, odds are you've heard of unconditional love. You're familiar with the idea of unconditional love. You love someone in spite of what they say. You love someone in spite of what they do. You love someone in spite of how you feel or how they hurt you. It's how God loves us. It's how God loves you with an unconditional love. But the idea of unconditional respect might be a new concept to you. And you might be thinking, well, Jason, that kind of sounds like an oxymoron. I mean, that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Kind of like jumbo shrimp. Jacksonville jumbo, why, you know? Or maybe to you it sounds like, you know, boneless ribs or congressional ethics. I mean, two words that just don't seem to go together, but I'm telling you, all right? Unconditional respect is not an oxymoron. And some of you say, well, Jason, I read in Scripture somewhere, I think I read in Scripture that you have to earn somebody's respect, right? No, that's not in Scripture at all. Just like that's not in Scripture, you know, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in Scripture either. In fact, I don't even know if that's Christian to even think that. All right? And also, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible either. Your OCD mom made that up to make sure you cleaned your room, all right? That's not in Scripture. So the whole idea of unconditional love is you love someone no matter what they do. You love someone no matter how you feel, all right? That's unconditional. Parents, you love your kids with an unconditional love. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. Even if you're sitting at home during Hurricane Matthew and you turn on the TV and your kid is up there on the TV like this right here.
Damage on the pickup truck and a lot of concern for the driver who admitted afterwards it probably wasn't the best idea.
Probably not. You'll probably get stuck, blow a couple of holes in the box or something. Probably not smart to come out here tomorrow, but just having fun, just be safe.
You know? You know? He's so well-spoken and looks so good on camera, you know? I'm so proud of him, and he just follows in dad's footsteps. You know, hey, that is awesome. And so parents, you love your kids no matter what. That's unconditional love. Well, unconditional respect is the same thing. I mean, you respect them no matter what they say. You respect them no matter what they do. You respect them no matter how you feel about it. It's a choice. But some of you go, well, Jason, I don't know if I can get past the past. I don't know if I can get past the hurt. I don't know if I can get past what they've done to me. Listen, maybe you need to apply what Paul wrote over in chapter 4 when he said these words. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So maybe this is where you need to start. Maybe you need to start with forgiveness. Maybe you need to give to that person what God has given to you. But let me just make a little side note here, all right? This does not mean you need to stay in an abusive relationship. If you are in an abusive relationship, emotionally, physically, or sexually, it does not mean you need to stay in that unhealthy environment. And listen, here as a church, we have resources. We have people who can help. Do not stay there without getting help. We have people who would love to help you in that. So here's what I like to do with the rest of our time together here. Ladies, I want to talk to you here for just a couple moments about what does it mean to show unconditional respect. And then, guys, I want to talk to you about what it means to show unconditional love. And so let's start with respect. Ladies, number one, respect his desire for conquest. Respect his desire for conquest. Listen, God put man in the garden to cultivate it. God put man in the garden to protect it. Appreciate his deep desire to work. Appreciate his deep desire to achieve. You see, this is why it's usually true, not always, that when a guy loses a job, it hurts so much more than when a lady loses a job. Because it's how he's wired. It's how he feels about himself. It's his value in life. Listen, what does another guy say to another guy? What's the first question they ask after they learn each other's names? What do you do, right? I mean, ladies, what's the first question you ask to one another after you learn each other's names? What are you wearing? Where'd you get that? No, I don't know, ladies, I'm asking. I don't know the answer. I'm just asking you, all right? So strike that, and whatever you say, say it there, all right? But ladies, here's what I want you to know. There's not a man who has ever lived who thought he was good enough. Not a man. You see, inside of every man is a little boy just trying to prove that he is a man. And so ladies, if your husband or maybe your boyfriend or your son is cocky or arrogant, maybe they're just trying to make up for this deep need in their life for respect. Number two, respect his desire to analyze and counsel. Respect his desire to analyze and counsel. We like to solve things. It's ladies why we don't ever stop and ask for directions, all right? And so do you appreciate his wisdom, or are you constantly telling him how wrong he is? Listen, if you want to get off this crazy cycle, just tell him how smart he is. Not smarter than you, we know that, all right? But he's got gifts, he's got abilities, he's got things that he does that's incredible. Let him know about it. But ladies, listen, when a man doesn't receive admiration from his spouse and he has to earn that admiration, he's going to quit attempting to earn that admiration. All right, number three, respect his intentions. Respect his intentions. Don't always think the worst about your guy. All right, we don't lay around in bed at night looking for ways to hurt you guys, all right? It just comes naturally to us. That's how we're clods, ladies, we're clods. I mean, you were made from a rib. We were made from dirt. We are clods, all right? And so don't attach a negative thought or feeling to everything your guy does. Don't read into it too much. And you might have to apply what Paul wrote in Philippians 4. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And so, ladies, here's your homework this week, okay? I want you to think of two, and stretch to three if you can, things that you admire about the man in your life. I want you to think of two or three things that you admire about the man in your life and then tell him. Let him know and watch it change who he is. In fact, in this book, it tells a story about a lady who did that. She thought of three things that she admired about her husband. She pulled him aside and said, honey, here's three things I admire about you. And she said, you could just see his body language change. She said, I could just see the change in his spirit. And then she said, 2 days later, she heard some clinging of pots and pans. She walked in the kitchen, and he was cooking dinner for the very first time in their marriage. She said, 4 days later, she heard some noise coming from the laundry room. She walked in there, and he was doing laundry for the very first time in their marriage. So find three things that you can admire about your husband and tell him. And ladies, I know some of you are thinking, but Jason, I mean, now he's going to know. He's going to know that I heard you tell me to do this. I mean, what about, don't listen, don't worry. He doesn't care, all right? He just wants to hear how great he is. So tell him how great he is. So that's your assignment, ladies. Now, guys, let's talk. Let's get real here for a minute about loving your wife. Here's what I want to give you. Number one, love her by getting to know her. Love her by getting to know her. And listen, this takes time. And our whole makeup, our DNA, the whole conquest thing about us really works against this, all right? Because we've already conquested our wife, right? I mean, it's like a hunter. A hunter doesn't spend extra time with the deer he bags, does he? No. A hunter goes, bags a deer, and drags it home. He's done with it, right? But listen, guys, your wife is not game, all right? She is your spouse. Do life, get to know her. Listen, Anne is so different. 20 years ago, she was different than she is now. She has different feelings and thoughts, stuff that she's going through and how she's growing. Get to know your spouse. Listen, the Bible says that a man leaves his father and mother and comes together with his wife. Those two become one. There is a collision of these inner lives. There's a collision of their inner worlds, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. So get to know her. Number two, love her by accepting her. Love her by accepting her, the good, the bad, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. And so how do you accept her? It's by doing the little things. When you're in public, praise her. Praise her in front of other people. Let other people hear how much you care. Hold her hand. Show some affection in public. In fact, one guy said he holds his wife's hand everywhere they go in public because if he lets go, she goes shopping. All right? Now, that's another message for another day, all right? But do that. And listen, a couple minutes ago when I said that every man on the planet is insecure, here's what I didn't say. Every single person on this planet is insecure because we all know that we are flawed. Women are insecure as well. And guys, you have the incredible ability to either build her up or tear her down. So make her feel like a queen. Put her on a pedestal because with your words or your silence, you can make her feel like nothing. So be careful and remember that she is the daughter of the Most High King of the universe. So be careful how you handle that. Number three, guys, love her by making her a priority. Making her your priority. Listen, can I be honest with you? And I bet you've probably felt what I felt before. There's been times in my marriage that I felt like we were just connected. But there have been many times in my marriage where I felt disconnected, where things just aren't going together well. And when I look back at those times in my life, you know what I was doing? I was in conquest mode. I was in work mode. I was in bulldozer mode. I was in battle mode. I was going to get my piece of the pie, and I was going to work my way up the ladder. And what God has had to remind me of several times in my life is that my number one battle is at home. That's my number one battle. Yeah, I might lead a church of thousands, but my first church is a church of three. I need to make her a priority. And so, guys, that may mean coming home on time. That may mean when you come home, not doing work and putting your phone down. That may mean planning a date day or a date night. That may mean planning a vacation where you don't take work with you. That may mean where you go on a work trip, you invite her to go along. Listen, she wants to be cherished. She wants to be honored. And so make her feel like a priority. And so, guys, here's your homework this week, all right? Here's your homework. This week, I want you to think about this question. Am I treating my wife the way I'd want a son-in-law to treat my daughter? Am I treating my wife the way I'd want a son-in-law to treat my daughter? Because behind every woman's disrespectful words or actions or thoughts is a woman who's feeling unloved. And behind a guy's unloving words or silence is a man who feels disrespected. We've got to break this cycle. And the only way we can break that cycle is with unconditional love and unconditional respect. And we need a new cycle. We need to get rid of that crazy cycle. We need to usher in a new cycle that brings life and brings energy to our relationships. And here is that new cycle. It's where his love motivates her respect, and then her respect of him motivates him to love her, and on and on and on it goes. And it creates a healthy, thriving relationship where there is unconditional love and unconditional respect. And so how do we stop this cycle? Ladies, when you're feeling unloved, have the courage to ask that man in your life, have I done something to make you feel disrespected? And guys, if you're feeling disrespected in your life, have the courage to ask that woman in your life, have I done something to make you feel unloved? And then both of you have the courage to listen. To listen. Because if we want healthy, thriving relationships, we want flourishing relationships, it takes unconditional love and unconditional respect. But none of that is possible without the Holy Spirit in you. Church, let's pray about this. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your wisdom. Because God, we know that if we continue to do things the ways of the world, then our marriages, our relationships will just fall apart. But we need you. We need you at the center of our lives. We need you at the center of who we are. We need to be filled with your spirit so we can produce fruit in our life, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And when we can bring that to a relationship, then the probability of a healthy relationship goes off the charts. And so God, help us. Help us to invite you into our lives, to walk with you, do life with you, trust you every moment of every single day of our lives, because we desperately need you. And listen, this world, this culture is doing everything in its power to tear marriages and relationships apart. We know it's difficult. And if we do things the way everybody else is doing them, then that's the result we're going to get. But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for healthy, thriving, flourishing relationships. So Heavenly Father, help us. Give us the courage to love unconditionally. Give us the courage to respect unconditionally. Help us to love everyone, to respect everyone, how you have loved and respected us. And so, Heavenly Father, we need you. We can't do this without you, because we believe that you are our strength. We believe that you are our fortress. We believe that you are our hope. and we need you in our lives. We need you in our relationships. So God, would you just bring your healing today? Would you begin to help relationships flourish? If it's forgiveness that needs to be ushered in today, then would you just bring forgiveness? May that just be the beginning of healing. Let's stop this crazy cycle and let's build relationships that flourish, that are crazy good, that bring energy and life to people in them. Let's be a model to this culture, a model to this world of what it truly means to love and respect one another. And so God, that is our heart cry. May we not look like the world in this area, but may we look more and more like you. Thank you for loving us. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.